time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 4th of August 2012. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. On Saturday, the 4th of August, I spoke with the opinionated islanders Alan Knight and Alex Stone, and I talked to Amelia Lawley from the Waiheke Budgeting Service. You're on Waiheke Radio on Island Life. It's the first Saturday of the month, so as I am every first Saturday of the month, I'm joined in the studio by Alan Knight and Alex Stone. Your microphones are on, so be careful what you say.
Treat all microphones as live.
Yes.
Good morning.
What a beautiful morning it is.
It is
just
a fantastic
came through
morning.
Only and the place is bustling.
Yeah,
it
lovely.
Is.
Yeah.
Do you think everyone is on a high from the victory in the rowing?
Oh, the rowing, great.
Oh, perfect. No. Brilliant. We start off straight away with that. This endless, seemingless, meaningless sludge about the event in London.
Yeah, but
I've put a swear jar at home, and the O word is not to be spoken out loud.
It's a four-letter word.
And that's the annoying thing about the 21st century. I mean, okay, sorry, I'm going to start sounding like a whinging chap straight away here, but
you're
I'm really
a curmudgeon.
Not. Yeah, I'm sorry, I do have to be curmudgeonly about this.
Apart from the corporatisation, the xenophobic nationalism, the commercialisation. And, you know, I suppose the hypocrisy. What's wrong with it?
It's the sheer po-faced boringness of these intense, serious people all going and competing in the hop,
but
skip,
you're doing
and jump.
It all wrong. You go for the bizarre sports. There's some truly bizarre sports. And there's a level of absurdist comedy which is unmatched elsewhere.
Well, I don't know. When it comes to absurdist comedy, I'm far more interested this week in this whole business of the chicken restaurant in America.
The chicken restaurant?
You heard of chicken filet? CEO of this nasty chicken fast food company said out loud that he's in favor of giving money to anti-gay marriage groups.
Yeah.
And so it's all turned into this great big thing. The politicians in America must wish they could get this kind of traction that this awful chicken restaurant's got. Mm. And I've been watching that more.
So is there a boycott of the chicken restaurant?
Well, there is, but there's also, you know, all the redneck folk are going out and actually supporting them, and they've had this national day of supporting this chicken restaurant.
It'll be a field day for mixed metaphors, you know, the tea party at the chicken restaurant.
Exactly. It is. I think it's been hilarious, and I've really enjoyed it this week because it's meant I haven't had to sort of be completely focused on this wretched Olympics thing.
So you like the oddball sports in there, Alex?
Oh, yeah, I'm going for them. I think they, you know, there's some that are just, like, pretty weird. But I will stop at women's boxing, which is a demonstration sport this time around. And that is weird, but I'm not watching that one. But I'm watching all the other weird ones.
What have you been watching?
Whatever comes up, you know. But if it's weird enough, I'll watch it. You know, you get these the wrestling where they, you know, throw each other down on the ground. And I've been watching their own because it is so elegant, you know. Yeah.
I do find that I watch sports that I would never, ever watch at any other time.
Like handball.
I think I've watched a game of hockey for the first time ever in my life.
Oh, it was very exciting.
It was good. It was really good. I don't know. There's something to be said, isn't there, about people who just... I mean, I'm impressed by things like the weightlifting or the high jump. Just the sheer physicality, that people can do that stuff is so impressive. And we were watching the long jump this morning, and you know, my son was watching it with me, and so we got out the tape measure and measured out in the lounge how far these guys
could
jump.
Probably longer than your whole lounge.
And his eyes just boggled. It's like, you know, this was the qualifying round, and they were jumping over 8 meters. It's pretty impressive stuff.
Oh, sorry, I just dozed off there for a moment.
Well, maybe you should read my column in the newspaper this week. I've had a lot of feedback about it. It's kind of higher, faster, stronger, well sort of in moderation. You know, I was trying to imagine what the Waiheke Olympics would be like, and it had all these kind of different approaches, you know. Yeah. Synchronized swimming at Little Palm Beach, for instance.
Yes, I suppose it would all be non-competitive.
No, of course
if you did
not.
It here. Yes, and there'd be no actual medals because that would be sort of unfair to the people who didn't get medals.
And exactly how do you award the gold medal for the Siesta Grand Final? One thing I think has been missing of commentary on the Olympics, you know, when they had the opening, they talked about all about English culture. I thought the whole thing was a kind of spoof, a hidden joke. It was very Basil Fawlty-ish. All of these strange cock-ups they've been having, it's almost like Basil Fawlty's been running the show, and I think the English are having a laugh at our expense. It's a Basil Fawlty extravaganza, you know? Did you hear about them pulling up the North Korean flag for South Korea or vice versa? Playing the apartheid national anthem for the South African team and losing the Australian team. Actually, that's one of the good things.
I was amused about Boris Johnson getting stuck on a zip wire, though. That was quite funny.
Oh, good stuff. But we digress. We must focus
on...
Well,
yeah, I was just... want to add... add my 5 cents here. I'm disturbed by the font that they use for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Every time I watch this, that's really horrible.
It's wrong. And it's got a lowercase L in some places and an uppercase L in some other places.
Yeah, it's a graphic design disaster, the Olympics. Anyway. Let's get back to this chicken shop, because the gay marriage issue, of course, has raised its head in New Zealand. We've seen this week Bob McCroskey from Family First claiming that gay marriage could be the gateway drug to incestuous and underage unions.
Yes, and people, marrying chickens and things like that. Yeah. It's just, they're dogs or whatever.
It bothers me how people can actually get worked up about this. Like, nobody gets hurt. It's like, what's wrong with a bit of love in the world? Get a grip, guys. There was a very complex rationale in the Herald, one of those opinion pieces the other day. This guy going, I think it was the same thing. Guy going on about it and how it was all going to lead us in the wrong way. And, oh, God. And the definition of marriage. Get over it, guys.
Yes. I mean, when you think how many marriages sort of end in divorce and you get people who marry multiple times, doesn't that rather degrade the concept of marriage that they're going on about? Yeah, Family First should just sit down and shut up.
But there is an interesting statistic. I don't know if it's relevant at all, but it just struck me as curious that apparently...
Well, relevance has never stopped you before.
No. But apparently a very low percentage of gay couples do want to be married anyway.
Yeah.
But for me it's irrelevant, because if they want to be married, well, let them, you know.
It's already have the civil union bill, which was a much needed piece of legislation. Yeah. There was a very sad note on this beginning of this week, I believe. The first American woman in space, Sally Ride, died this week.
Yeah.
And one thing that emerged was, she's had a fairly low profile, but she was in a long-term relationship with another woman. Oh. And they were saying how sad it is that her partner will not be treated as a widow under the law, at least here, the civil union thing does at least allow for, whatever goods and money you've accumulated to be left in the proper way to your partner, just as it would be in a straightforward marriage.
It's always struck me as odd that some heroic occupations don't have a sort of a window into any kind of possibility of homosexuality, like the idea of a gay astronaut. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You can imagine the Americans; it just wouldn't compute in their minds, would it?
Well, I thought it was very encouraging to see that even the Prime Minister was saying, "Yeah, okay, I'm behind this."
Yeah.
And there was quite an interesting thing, actually. There was a graphic in one of the papers about where your MP is likely to line up on this.
Ah.
Does seem to be mainly New Zealand First MPs are against. A fair number of national MPs aren't committing one way or another. But, of course, Nikki Kaye was one of the people behind this.
Yeah, she's been pushing it all along.
Yeah. I'd have to say that the MP who is actually pushing the bill, what's her name?
It's Lewis Wall, isn't it?
That's the one,
yes. Wall, yeah.
What a splendid job she's making of being the spokesperson for that. Watching her on the TV has been most impressive. She's articulate and really looks focused on this, and I think with somebody like that pushing an agenda forward, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's something that should be done, and it shouldn't even be a drama. It's just yeah. let it happen. Yeah, it's
So I've got the opinionated Islanders here, Alan Knight and Alex Stone. So let's turn our attention now to local issues. And we've seen recently councils across the country have been speaking out against proposals to change the Local Government Act and to remove the four well-being. So the four well-beings that are in that act at the moment that say that the councils should be promoting the social, economic, environmental and cultural well-being of communities in the present and for the future.
Which all sounds very well and good.
Yeah, and so the proposal is that those words would be replaced with meet the current and future needs of communities for good quality local infrastructure, local public services and performances of regulatory functions in a way that is most cost effective for households and businesses. So it doesn't have quite the same
for those of you listening at home. Chris remembered that he had that completely memorized. Reeled that off the top of his head.
Yes.
Lovely bureaucratic speech.
So at a local meeting of Local Government New Zealand, so unanimously every council in the country opposes that change
except for one maverick council.
Yeah, so stepping out bravely against the whole tide of local government is
reason and everything.
The Waiheke Local Board.
Yes.
Bless them. Here's the irony. Our Waiheke Local Board were voted in on the basis of the four well-beings. If we go back a few months to, you know, them on the hustings saying, vote for me, I will do wonderful things for the social and cultural well-being of this community. And now they want to, it's almost biblical, they're sort of denying.
Yes, we never said that. well-being of communities, that's not what we're here for.
No, we don't do well-being. Let's do cost-effective.
It is an extraordinary thing to watch, and as you were saying just before we went on air here, it finally marks Faye Storer's move from left-wing councillor to right-wing local board chair. and what a strange journey it's been. I don't know if this has actually manifested itself in any kind of physical way. If she has taken to dressing like Margaret Thatcher or whatever, we don't know, because of course Faye Storer is not the out and about local politician that she used to be. As I think we were saying last month, the days of her sitting at the market holding court by the little coffee stall there are long gone. You just don't see her out and about.
But you know, making this decision, they didn't ask us. You know, community boards should have some kind of conversation with the community, and this
I don't really think they want to at this stage.
What is the balance there? I mean, there is a balance, isn't there, between the local board being, you know, a consultative group and showing leadership.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's got to be a line somewhere, doesn't there?
Yeah, but for me, there's stuff. They're not operating on a national scale, a national stage. So to go against all the local government bodies in the entire country is not really their call. They should be dealing with local feel-good stuff to help people's lives. So Don McKenzie's little initiative to do the he's got an idea that people that gain their citizenship, New Zealand citizenship, on Waiheke should have a special Waiheke ceremony where they meet local colourful characters and we do a nice Waiheke citizenship ceremony. And that's lovely stuff. You know?
I like that idea.
Yeah,
yep.
That's kind of social and cultural well-being.
Alongside that, there's also the proposal, isn't there, that they recognise people who make a special contribution to the community.
Yeah,
yeah, good. And yeah. They're calling for nominations from that. Imagine the final decision will be made by the board. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see how that turns out as well, and where, you know, who they recognise and who they deem worthy of being recognised. Yeah,
well, I think we should recognise the shit stirrers in this community, because we've had, you may not always agree with them, but they do provide colour to Waiheke, you know, the guys
absolutely.
That do the really doozy, silly decisions, you know. Maybe we should vote in the horse that galloped up the golf course as well. You know, it doesn't have to be restricted to humans, does it?
Would the horse come forward? or is it still in hiding?
Yeah, probably. Yes. And the rooster? Remember the rooster? Or,
you know, has the horse been moved and been given a respray?
Or euthanized.
Yes, who knows?
Yeah. No, but yeah, I think, going back to the core thing, I don't think the Waiheke board had a remit, had a mandate to say this.
No, it's just definitely they did not.
Yeah. But it's not out of character, is it? I mean, if we listen, there was a very good interview with Joe Holmes on the station last week, I believe, which is available for replay on the website. Now, and they talked at length there about the Esplanade decision. Now, Joe's very, very clear and able to articulate very clearly that the decision that she felt the overriding decision around the Esplanade opening was actually that question of cost effectiveness. Mm. So, I mean, there's statement isn't out of line with other decisions they've made.
Yeah. Okay.
It is, though, very interesting to watch the way in which this board are going to have to negotiate their way through the next 18 months. Because, there was that enormous mess when they first got in. Everyone knows what happened there. And I think they must have felt that, oh, look, in 3 years' time, everyone will have forgotten. It will all have blown over and we'll have impressed everybody so much with our careful handling of local matters. But all of a sudden, half their term is gone and they're looking at an election next year. And there's... that fury that existed in the community has not abated.
I think
you only have to sort of follow some of the discussions that have gone on in the island. There is a lot of discontent, and this decision about the four well-beings is just going to add to that feeling that this board, we're not happy with this board.
But this whole thing about cost effectiveness is a kind of a logic trap, It's much more cost effective, for instance, to put your kids down. It's just like, you can go down the track of being cost effective, and what you do is you just deaden everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in the community that has to be done, even if it isn't cost effective, So you shouldn't put that proviso onto everything.
Mm.
Doing silly street theatre or whatever. They're wonderful things out there that are not cost effective, but they should still happen.
Yeah.
So we've also had the conversation around Matiatia over the last couple of weeks, and an invited group brought in to discuss what the future of Matiatia development should be, and some concern from Forest and Bird, who own a large tract of land at Matiatia, neighbouring the council land down there, that they weren't included in that conversation.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that you get these fancy consultant guys who usually charge enormous amounts of money for their time talking about stakeholders, and they miss out probably one of the most significant stakeholders in the valley.
Yeah. I mean, but then there'd be a very good reason for that.
Yeah.
Whichever way this goes, I can't see this Matiatia thing turning out well.
It's the way
in which it's all gone a bit quiet.
That's
got to have you worried.
Yeah, we need to do some digging to see what the real story is behind Matiatia. We'll wake up one morning and find the glittering marina and the shopping mall already there.
All of which will be decided sort of late in a local board meeting, because I don't know if you've ever actually been along to one of these meetings. The theme to it is no one here gets out awake. The last one awake wins.
Yeah.
It's staggeringly dull to sit and watch. I mean, it's, compared to the fun of watching a local board get elected, watching a local board actually functioning really is like watching paint dry. Whereas watching a board get elected is like watching that same paint in its original tins being used for target practice with high-powered rifles. Nothing boring about that. But my word, when they actually sit down and start listening to all the submissions and stuff, it takes a strong will to stay.
So why don't we just have elections all the time and no governance? That would be more fun.
That would be terrific, yes.
Yeah, we need more fun in
a constant state of revolution.
Yeah,
would be magnificent.
Keep us all talking about stuff.
You just end up like Italy.
Yeah.
They spend more time electing than they do governing, don't they?
That's right.
Now,
speaking of other nations, you had something around the Tonga.
Yeah, I thought it was quite an interesting story. It came up in the news this week. It had a sort of nice island link to it. The King of Tonga has nominated his 20-something niece to be the High Commissioner to Australia, which occasioned the usual nepotism accusations and the Aussies sort of thinking they were slighted and all of this. But and on the surface of it does look a little bit too close to the family, shall we say. But it transpires that this 20-something niece is Harvard-educated, an expert in international relations, and probably, despite the fact she's the king's niece, probably the best qualified person in the kingdom.
That's delightful. Yeah, and it's what great. A lovely story.
And we thought about it. If you are the king of a kingdom, what the hell? You may as well do what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of nice, you know. And so the king to do something that outwardly seems ridiculous, but on closer inspection seems quite a good idea, fair enough. And so it's giving this young Tongan princess a break in international relations. Isn't that nice?
It is. Yep. Definitely one of the better news stories of the week.
Yeah. But, you know, it makes you wonder if Joe and Faye are the... would you call them the... Queen, would they be the king and queen of Waiheke? And are their decisions as good as the king of Tonga's?
Not exactly, no. Royalty doesn't enter into this. It's just, I think we've got more in common with a sort of mid 20th century South American country at the moment.
Yeah, but there's kind of politics. This high handed, imperious decision making where the hoi polloi don't get a look in. That sounds very old fashioned, doesn't it?
Yes, except, you know, in good newfangled style, we get to vote them out next time round. Which well, I'm really looking forward to. One more thing I did want to bring up about local stuff. Now, I know we were talking about this a few months ago, and I just couldn't get either of you guys interested in this, the state of the roads. But has anyone driven out along Onitangi Strait in the last couple of weeks?
I've been too busy watching the Olympics.
Yeah. Oh. Well, tell us about it. Tell us about it.
When that dry spell finally snapped, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I'd driven out to Onitangi, to Trigg Hill, on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday, when after the big rainfall,
yeah,
went back out there again to retrieve something, and it was noticeable the extent to which the road had cracked up overnight, literally overnight.
On the edges, dissolving away.
Not just the edges, but right in the middle too. There's potholes coming up everywhere.
I've had the same thought because Bay Road, the one that goes to Palm Beach from Austin, that was resurfaced a month ago, 2 months ago. Now, the Romans used to make roads, and they're still around.
Oh, yeah, but okay.
This road was resurfaced by Downer Construction, big fancy company, blah, 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 big machines, modern technology. It's got potholes already.
Yep.
There's got to be like a guarantee. How long does a brand new road last? This is like less than 2 months old, and it's got potholes. So I mentioned this to a very wise person the other day, and they said, these Downer fellas are clever, you know. They get the contracts, and they do such a shoddy job, they keep getting more contracts.
I know. It's weird. Unbelievable.
There has to be...
But it transpires...
A road has to last for a little while, sure.
That the problem with the Onitangi Road is that ever since it was downgraded from 80 kilometres an hour to 60, it goes down the list in terms of importance.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it's no longer so important to keep it in good shape.
Yeah.
And apparently, the roading people have no plans to do any work on that road for another 18 months, which means we're going to go through the whole of next summer with it in that state. And how long before there is a serious accident involving a visitor on one of those silly little mopeds?
Yeah, they're a worry. Because some of those potholes around the island are as deep as a moped wheel.
They are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it seems like a boring subject, but it is quite interesting when you look at the state of it and think, how long is it going to take them to fix this? Wharf Road, for example, between the Ostend turnoff and Crescent Road East, that's falling to bits in a huge state. Yeah. Incidentally, somebody went off that road last night in a four-wheel drive. They were hauling it out of the swamp this morning as I came past. Thought it was going to be late because they were trying to winch this great big Pajero out of the swamp. It had gone
the thing
in
that gets me is, you know, with all of human advancement and, you know, put people on the moon and all of that, it can't be that hard to build a road. You know, why can't we build roads?
Well, we can. It's just we make them out of cornflakes and wallpaper paste. and the results are obvious. It does seem a terrible shame.
Yeah.
Speaking of putting men on the moon, if you wanted a distraction from the Olympics, we've got the Mars rover landing coming up tomorrow night.
That is amazing, yes.
Will that be televised live?
Oh, you'll probably get it online from NASA.
Get it online.
Yeah.
It will be an amazing thing. Yeah, the largest payload that has ever been sent to another planet. It's amazing.
Gee.
And the way in which they're landing it.
Wow, this sounds great.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a fantastic little kind of animation of the landing process available online, where they have a kind of a hovering rocket, and then they lower this rover down on ropes onto the surface.
It's extremely clever. Yeah. I was also very impressed to see this week that the Indians have announced that they are going to Mars.
You mean India?
India, yeah.
Well, there must be a market for call centres and...
Exactly. But it's lovely in a week in which India had the largest power outage in history.
Yeah, yeah.
Of anywhere else, anywhere in the world. Yeah, 600 million people affected by this huge power outage. But in the same week, they're going, yeah, we're sending an unmanned craft to Mars.
Oh, fantastic.
Good on them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Maybe some skewed priorities there, but you can't fault them for trying.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I can just sort of visualizing sort of a Bollywood sequence with thousands of people dancing on the red planet, you know?
Yeah, I just think if we've got to have a new emerging superpower, I'd way rather it was India than China.
Well, Brazil is actually, if you look at how fast economies are growing, Brazil and India are big, you know? So those are our emerging superpowers, yeah.
And won't that be fun?
Yeah.
Well. All right, the Opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight and Alex Stone.
Well, one thing's for sure, sorry, is that the way we're going, Waiheke's probably not an emerging superpower.
No.
So is that a good thing or not? I leave you with this question.
Mm. Well, with that, we'll bid you goodbye and wish you both a most cost-effective weekend.
Cost-effective,
yes.
Thank you.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio. This is Island Life, brought to you by the Humble Pie Village Butchery at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneiroa. And I'm joined by Amelia Lawley from the Waiheke Budgeting Service with some cost-saving tips for us this morning. How are you, Amelia?
I'm well, and you?
I'm very good. Now, the talk of the town at the moment has been getting $50 off Vector, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yep. For a lot of people, you know, that $50 would be pretty welcome.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And you can still do it. So, just you ring them and tell them where you live and how long the power's out in your house, and they check to make sure you're not telling porkies, and you get a $50 check.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's really great, especially at this time of year when everyone's juggling, people are juggling madly to keep their power bills out of arrears. So there's
also from Vector, and we must be coming up because I mean I just got the letter to say, you know, do you still want to put in your bank account? They have mm-hmm. that yearly dividend, don't they?
Yep.
That, what is it, that's the Auckland Electricity Consumers Trust
yep.
dividend?
That's coming up. If you were living in your current address on the 10th of August 2011 and your name's on the power bill of that address, you can receive, well, last year it was $320. And it's basically just a sort of, you know, the dividend is a result of the trust's shareholding in Vector. So when Vector pays the dividend, that money comes back out to the consumers. So, well, most of it anyway. So you just basically can choose whether you want to put it in straight into your account and get, you know, credit on your bill, or you want to get a cheque.
So for people who are renting, that must be something that sometimes passes people by. That
it does.
They're not aware of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it does. And if you move, you have to make sure you keep bills from your last place of residence so you can prove that you actually did live there on that date.
Right.
Yep.
So is there any way that if people think, oh, hey, I've never heard of that before, but you know, I pay an electricity bill, that they can kind of go back and get that sorted out?
I don't think you can claim it retrospectively. No, but it might be worth checking out, but I don't think you can.
Okay, but there's one coming up.
They're
so
pretty
perhaps,
specific.
But who would they get hold of, if
Vector.
Vector.
Yeah, you can go online
cool.
and just call them.
Yeah, so when you're ringing up for your $50 rebate, it might mm-hmm. be a good time to say, hey, I've heard about this dividend as well.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, while we're talking about power, is PowerSwitch is a really great tool. If you think you might be paying too much, you can go and check out.
Now, that's really
options.
Interesting because I've heard about PowerSwitch and, you know, I've never done it.
Yep.
So,
Basically, you log onto their website and you can either choose to do a quick calculation, which may or may not be exactly accurate, or you can fill out quite a long-winded questionnaire, which asks you all kinds of questions about your usage. So, right down to, you know, what kind of heater you use and how much television you watch and, you know, whether you're obviously whether you've got gas, fuel, hot water, and all the things that are going to make a difference to your usage, and you know what hours you work, when is the peak time that you've got electrical appliances running, and then they basically put together a profile of your usage, and they it then searches for the most appropriate package, power package for you in your area. And I mean, I went from Mercury Energy down to Meridian, back to over to Meridian, and I'm probably saving about $250 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're working through that. Do you work through that with people at the budgeting service?
Yep, we do. Yep. Yeah. If they don't have a computer at home, we can do it with them.
Yeah.
And it is kind of, it's quite complex. So, and it helps to have your bill on hand when you actually fill it out, because they recommend that you can actually put in accurate figures on your usage rather than just estimations, so that you can get the most.
And so those kind of savings that you make, are they fairly typical of the kind of...
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Yeah, and a lot of our clients have moved, changed.
Yeah.
And there's a similar telecommunications version called TelMe, which is another New Zealand consumer initiative. And that's exactly the same thing, but for telecommunications, so landline, mobile, internet, pay TV. You basically create your own profile of what your usage is, and hit search, and it will find the best package for you.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. It's like I'm able to get what's called naked broadband, which sounds somewhat dubious, but it's basically I can get the internet without having a landline, because I don't want to have a landline particularly. So yeah, so it just there's all these things that you just don't know are actually accessible until you look. So yeah, they're good. They're good little tools.
Yeah. And there's also a rates rebate for some people, isn't there?
Yep, there is. You know, rates, the hot topic at the moment for property owners. If you earn under a certain amount, which at this point is $23,650 is the current threshold. If you earn under that, depending on how many dependents you have, you can claim back some of your rates. And, you know, I think the maximum you can get is about $600, depending on your income. Yeah, so that's coming up. You have to get hold of the council. You have to wait until your next rates bill appears in the post, and then you approach the council. And you have to have as much information as you can about your income and what your partner's income is, obviously how many children you have, and then they calculate it and they tell you how much you can get back.
Yeah, so there's quite a few things there for those major utilities and rates, but wondering as well, I mean, there's also a few kind of consumer options. I mean, recently we got unsolicited a card in the mail from the AA.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was at the petrol station on Eroa, and I saw they had a sign up there saying that with that card you can get 4 cents a litre off, or 2 cents a litre off.
Yeah.
And that just came in the mail, and I think there must be a fair few things like that that, you know.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard of that one. I did hear the other day that apparently the Transport Authority, Transport Agency, are now offering monthly registrations, which over a year you end up paying a hell of a lot more. But if you're in a situation 1 month where you just can't afford your rego and you need to, you know, reallocate your resources, as we like to put it, you can get a monthly registration. But they don't advertise that. It's not on the website. You have to ring them up and or go to the post office and they know about it. But yeah, you're right. There are sort of little hidden gems, and you hear about them and then you sort of research them and away you go.
And most people would know about things like the one card at the supermarket.
Yeah.
And I suppose for an island where you've got very limited options, knowing about those deals or the know-how card at Placemakers.
Yep.
But are there others that people don't know about as much?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I mean, there's the Flexi card, but I'm not sure whether that's actually much of a bonus for sort of low-income earners, because it's things like, you know, discounts of vineyards and things like that, which aren't really, you know, in the domain of people who aren't earning that sort of money. No, not really. But, I mean, I think, you know, there's just little sort of obvious things that we talk about with our clients, and they're not rocket science. They're things like making sure that your windows are sealed and, you know, going and getting a tube of silicone gel from the Placemakers for $5 and making sure you've got... no drafts screaming in around your windows, and putting blankets up in the rooms that you don't use, things like that. Checking out all that trash that comes in the mailbox on a Sunday for Countdown, and finding out what's on special, and actually designing your menu for the week around those specials and multi-buys and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to town last weekend and filled the back of my car at Pack and Save, and I was just about in tears at how much money people could be saving over here if they could actually access, or if we had a delivery system or something. We just pay over so much over the odds for fruit and veggies especially on this island.
But. Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, because people talk about it and you wonder whether it's mythology or not, the idea of taking your car to town every once in a while and doing that shop and filling up with petrol and whether you do actually save back the money of the of what you spend on the ferry.
Well, I reckon
or not.
I probably saved about $150 and the ticket was 90. So I don't know. Possibly not, but it's...
It's one of those things.
It feels good.
It does feel good, but it seems as well, doesn't it, that often the savings are only available for people who have money up front. You know, so if you are on the bones of your bum, then accessing savings is actually a lot more difficult.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's expensive to be poor.
Yeah.
That monthly rego is a perfect example. Yeah, it's a short-term solution, but long-term it will probably cost you, you know, $100 a year.
Mm.
It's just one of the, you know, life's little injustices.
Yes. Okay, so a couple of tips there. So checking out, so definitely worthwhile checking out Tell Me
and Power Switch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, do. It's really worthwhile. Sort of one of the first things we ask our people when they come in is like, right, who's your providers? Who are your providers? Can we be doing better?
Yep. And there's no kind of general rule of thumb that's one is cheaper than the other?
No, depends entirely on what you want, what your usage is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's your tip, everyone. Check those out, and if you need some more, you know, some more support, and don't wait till the last minute, you know, because you're very kind of keen on doing kind of proactive support for people around budgeting, aren't you?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, just trying to get people in there before they get really seriously in trouble.
Yeah.
I said that last time I was on the radio, and I've probably been boring people stupid with it, but that's my main drive, really.
Yep. How's the hunt for premises going?
Not so well, actually. Rental properties over here are just completely ridiculous, the prices that they charge for, you know, pretty awful places generally. But we've sort of refined our brief. We wanted to get something commercial with a long lease, but we've decided that's just obviously not going to happen. So we're now just looking for whatever we can get. It'll happen. Something will drop out of the sky.
Great.
Yeah.
We hope so.
Yeah.
All right. And in the meantime, people can find you where?
142 Ocean View Road in Oniroa. Just outside the village next to the church, next to the Presbyterian Church. And our phone number is 6300.
Great. Thanks, Amelia.
No worries.
Waiheke Budgeting Services. We're very happy to support the work they do here at Waiheke Radio because it's a really important thing for our community.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa.